So, how do you get your TV? Unless you stream everything over the internet, chances are pretty good that you get your TV, like most of us do, from a cable setup. Community Antenna Television, CATV. Did you know that was invented in Astoria? It was invented in Astoria, Oregon. It may not have been invented first in Astoria, Oregon, but it was invented independently there. And here's the best part of this story. It was invented by a guy who wasn't trying to change the world. He was just trying to do something nice for his wife. Stay tuned a minute, I'll tell you the story. First, though, let me introduce myself. I'm Finn J.D. John, and I write a weekly newspaper column that runs in about a dozen papers around the state right now. It's called Offbeat Oregon History. Right now, you're listening to a column from our archives, one that was first published on September 19th, 2011. I'm going to read it to you now. If you want more information about the column, stay tuned. Every term in the History of Telecommunications class that I teach at Oregon State University, I always ask for a show of hands from the students. How many of you get your TV from an antenna? I ask. Not a satellite dish, an antenna. Rabbit ears, or a big thing on the roof. I usually see two or three hands. That's out of a class of 70 students. The fact is, broadcast TV is a ghost of its former self. Cable TV is how almost everyone gets his or her television these days. Cable TV, CATV, or Community Antenna Television, is a huge industry today. And it all started, believe it or not, with a guy on a rooftop in Astoria, Oregon, pursuing the sweet and simple goal of doing something nice for his wife. Here's how it happened. In the summer of 1946, Ed Parsons, owner of radio station KAST in Astoria, went to the National Association of Broadcasters convention in Chicago with his wife, Grace. Grace, like millions of Americans, was enchanted by the demonstration of television. But also, like millions of Americans, Grace Parsons lived in a small city. There were only a handful of TV stations in the country, and they were all in big metropolitan areas, and the FCC had put a moratorium on new TV station licenses while they worked out some technical issues. It looked like Mrs. Parsons would have to wait years and years before she'd get her TV. But Mrs. Parsons, unlike those other millions of Americans, was married to somebody who had the technical know-how to do something about it. A year or two later, Grace Parsons was watching her TV, and the world would never be the same. What Parsons figured out was that if he could bring in a really feeble signal from a faraway TV station, he might be able to pick it up, then massage it, strengthen it, and serve it up locally to televisions that would otherwise be far out of range. When KRSC-TV, which has since been renamed KING, started broadcasting in Seattle in late 1948, Parsons saw his opportunity to try this out, and in the process, to give his wife the TV she wanted. All he had to do was figure out a place in which signals from Seattle reached Astoria. Parsons started building equipment and running experiments. He scouted all over the Astoria area. He started, of course, with mountaintops and high places. There, he got nothing. Moving lower and looking around, he started picking up signals in odd places. The sides of hills, a small collection of blocks downtown, random places like that. Eventually, he figured out that the signals came in like fingers, just a block or two wide and a few hundred feet high. The trick was to find one of these fingers that just happened to land on a place that was practical for an antenna. At first, every one he found was in some inconvenient place where experimentation would be impossible. Then he discovered that one finger pointed directly at a place he'd never thought to look, his apartment, located a few buildings away from the John Jacob Astor Hotel in downtown Astoria. After that, the experimentation kicked into high gear. While Grace monitored the signal in the couple's living room, Ed fiddled with equipment on the roof of the neighboring Astor Hotel. They talked back and forth on handheld radios. Finally, the picture came in. It's not clear how long it took for them to realize their success had generated a new and unexpected problem. Suddenly, Ed and Grace were the most popular couple in town. Dozens and dozens of friends packed into their home every time KRSC was on the air. Quote, "Literally, we had no home," Parsons told the Portland Oregonian. Finally, on Christmas Eve, Parsons kicked everybody out of the house and resolved to figure out how to solve this new problem. Ed had built signal boosting devices to bring the weak signal from Seattle in clear enough to see, It was simple enough for him to make a bigger signal-boosting device and split the signal into coax lines leading to several other TV sets. Thus was born the first CATV network on the West Coast, and possibly in the nation. Ironically, Parsons didn't initially plan to use cables at all. His initial plan, after receiving the signals from Seattle, was to rebroadcast them on an unused UHF television frequency. If you're old enough, you'll remember UHF. That's the frequencies on the little knob on old TV sets, numbered 14 through 83. And that's if you just happened to have had a TV set that had a UHF knob on them. Many of them did not. Now, if Parsons had done this, it's hard to say what would have happened to his plan. It might have gone no farther than experimentation. After all, you can't charge people to receive UHF signals over the public airwaves, and you can't sell ads on someone else's rebroadcasted program. Without a means of collecting revenue to cover his expenses, Parsons probably would have had to abandon the whole thing. So it was probably lucky that the Federal Communications Commission was taking a fairly dim view of the whole idea, pretty much from the start. And when Parsons came to them with hat in hand looking for permission to use a UHF channel, he was turned down flat. Parsons' only alternative then was to send the signal out on coax cables strung from house to house. Ironically, the FCC's response to Parsons' project had the huge impact on its future influence over television broadcasting. This is why you can watch explicit sex scenes and learn new curse words on HBO and Showtime. They're never broadcast over the air, so the FCC lacks jurisdiction to tell producers what they may show. The FCC did try to assert regulatory authority over cable distribution at one point, but courts threw this idea out, noting that all CATV really did was enable more than one person to share an antenna. It was really no different than having a second TV in the kitchen hooked up to the same antenna as the one in the living room. It must be noted that CATV was an idea whose time had come. There was tremendous demand for TV signals, and many people were racking their brains trying to figure out how to bring them in. We know that at least one other inventor came up with the same idea at roughly the same time out in Mahonoy City, Pennsylvania. We don't actually know for sure who did it first. The other inventor's building burned and all of his records were lost. But we do know that when Ed Parsons put that tower on top of the hotel, he was leading a movement that would utterly transform the world. And it happened. Right here in River City. That's the end of today's column. If you're listening for the first time, here's a little information about this podcast and about Offbeat Oregon History, the newspaper column it's part of. Offbeat Oregon History tells the stories of Oregon history that nobody knows about, the ones everyone has forgotten. Stories of heroes and rascals, of shipwrecks and lost gold, of Shanghai'd sailors and Skid Row bordellos and pirates and robbers and buried treasure and unsolved mysteries. It's a weekly column, and I've been writing it since 2008, so right now there are about 175 published episodes in the kitty. Every morning I pull one of those episodes up and put it out on the daily RSS feeds, one in text and pictures for your newsreader, and one like this one in audio-only format for your podcatcher. You can read any archive column and subscribe to either daily feed by going to the website at offbeatoregon.com. Both feeds are optimized for smartphone use, but they work great on a tablet or a netbook, too, or even an old-fashioned computer. All the columns are covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Thanks for listening, and do drop me a line if you're ever in Corvallis or have time for a cup of coffee. I'm at Finn at Offbeat Oregon, or if you do Twitter, @OffbeatOregon. Have a great day.